standing, let us pray. Lord God, ruler of the universe and ruler of our hearts, let your word spoken here transform our lives. Let the power of your word spoken here open the eyes of our hearts. And let your word spoken here bring us shalom. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. So it's been a year since I preached at a service. I've preached at a couple of funerals, but so let's see how we go. Nothing is worse than Christian leaders who fall from grace. We have certain expectations for them, and when we find and discover that they have feet of clay, it is both shocking and destabilizing. And we can find many instances of Christian leaders whose ministry is rocked by scandal. And it seems to be the main scandal is sexual misconduct. Recently, these have included the founder of Willow Creek Community Church and two leaders of the Australian Global Megachurch, Hillsong, whose followers included Justin Bieber and Jenner, one of the Jenners, the Kardashians. The media, fellow Christians, and every kind of pundits have a field day. And when I was doing this research on this, when you go on Facebook, I mean, I was amazed at the number of posts there were and the number of comments about particularly the most modern ones. So many people are and continue to be deeply affected by their choices. And I think that's because many people place their hopes and dreams in their ministry. And I think Christians and non-Christians believe that they can never be forgiven. One of the wives of these leaders posted on Facebook, "I understand when he says he did not fall from grace. He fell into it." And if you notice one of your inserts, there's a beautiful poem on the back of the sheet, and it's about falling into grace. You can take that and put that on your fridge if you like. "You are my refuge, a shelter from the storm. You are my hiding place through dark nights till the dawn. When troubles come like waves to sweep me off my feet, oh, the stories I could tell of the wonders that I meet. The wisdom that you give, the provision you provide, the peace that keeps my heart at rest when there's nowhere left to hide. The joy that sustains me when pain is all around. The strength I find to carry on when I'm knocked down to the ground. You are my refuge. You are my hiding place. You are the one I trust. I love that I have fallen into grace." That one statement, falling into grace, got me thinking about Jacob and his walk with the God of Hebrew scriptures. He was born holding his twin brother's Esau's heel, and his name meant holder of the heel or supplanter, because he twice deprived his brother of his rights as the firstborn son. His story of family dysfunction, betrayal, lies, and deceit do not invite us to criticize, but instead ask us to look into the mirror and see ourselves and our own families. Does anyone have dysfunction in their family? Except for Jeanette. For we too fall into God's grace, and many times are honestly unable to recognize it. We cannot let go and free fall into God's mercy and loving kindness, confessing and knowing, and you all know where this comes from, that we are not worthy so much as to gather up the crumbs under the table. Anybody know where that comes from? BCP. We are all unable to maintain grace under fire. Grace is receiving what we do not deserve. And God's purposes will never be frustrated by our self-determination and relentless pursuit. Because we live in a culture that says me, myself, and again, our relentless pursuit for self-identity. A disgraced Jacob is alone in the desert. The family inheritance he has schemed to receive is not of much use to him in his present circumstances. To escape Esau's wrath, his mother has sent him back to the home country, and when he rested that night in Bethel, which means house of God, I think this was the scripture for last week, I seem to remember, right? Okay. The house of God. He has a remarkable dream where there are angels coming up and down. Some texts say ladders, but when I did research, it wasn't a ladder. I don't know what it was, but it wasn't a ladder. And in the dream, God speaks, and Jacob is promised that he will be blessed through all the peoples of the earth, will be blessed through Jacob. And Jacob, and that God will be with him always. This is the first time that God has spoken to Jacob directly, and he is filled with awe, and he exclaims, I love this one, surely God is in this place, and I did not know it. Jacob has fallen into grace, and he does not know it, for he keeps bargaining. That's what he says. Then Jacob made this vow. Now, I'm not sure this is a vow, because if, when you start your vow with an if, that might be problematic. I will give you, I'm thinking of the marriage vows, in sickness and in health, if I don't have to work too hard. You know what I mean? So so he says, if God will indeed be with me and protect me on this journey, and if he will provide me with food and clothing, and if I return safely to my father's home, then the Lord will certainly be my God. He's got that all wrapped up. Such a human response. How often have we said, Lord, if you do this, I'll be faithful. Come on. I remember as a kid, I was angry at my mother, and I had a red suitcase, and I remember going down the stairs and saying, God, if my mother comes out here and tells me she loves me, I'll stay. My mother came out and said, get your suitcase upstairs, okay? But even as a kid, I remember doing that. After his incredible burning bush encounter, Jacob reaches the outskirts of his uncle's land, and at the local watering hole, you gotta love this story, he meets the girl of his dreams, the beautiful cousin Rachel. Jacob kissed Rachel and he wept aloud. He explained to Rachel that he was her cousin on her father's side. I love scripture. Cousin on her father's side, just so we don't get confused. The son of her aunt Rebecca. So Rachel quickly ran and told her father Laban. As soon as Laban heard that his nephew Jacob had arrived, he ran out and met him, and he embraced him, and he kissed him and said, you really are my own flesh and blood. It didn't end well. The plot of today's scripture centers around Laban's deception of Jacob. After Jacob had stayed with Laban for about a month, Laban said to him, you shouldn't work for me without pay just because we're relatives. Tell me how much your wages should be. Now, the word for wages in this particular context, it has a theological implication. It is not one of economics. It's not one of minimum wage. In this story, the reward is for faithfulness. Thank you. A payment for the moral quality of an action. So by entering into this agreement, Jacob's past history of deception, of moral deficiency, will predetermine what his reward will be. So we have to understand that. So when Jacob agreed to work for 7 years in exchange for the youngest daughter, Rachel, in marriage, Laban's carefully worded answer, it is better for me to give her to you than to give her to somebody else. What do you notice there? He never says Rachel's name. He never says Rachel's name, for he intended from the beginning to give Leah away first. And if he had to do so by deceiving his nephew, so be it. So after 7 years of expecting his reward, Laban in the dark of night led not Rachel but Leah to the marriage tent. Now, it's difficult to believe that Jacob could not have known, could have been so easily deceived. But then again, Blind old Isaac was fooled in his tent by the same Jacob into mistaking one son for another. There's doublets here. Jacob's anger in the morning was useless as Esau. And Jacob says to Laban, "What have I done to you? What have I done to you?" "Oh, I don't know. Did I not serve you for Rachel? Why then have you deceived me?" "It is not done in our country," Laban says, "to give the younger before the firstborn." Again, reminding me of a story of my son, who was selling firecrackers in the high school to kids. Somebody stole the firecrackers, and he got terribly, terribly upset that somebody had stole the firecrackers. Again, it's so human, these stories. The deceiver had been deceived, and for once in the Bible, an older child has preference over a younger one. This is justice. Jacob got what he deserved. He got his wages and his reward. His payment was dishonesty. Jacob received payment for the moral quality of his life. Even though he had been chosen by God and blessed by his father, Jacob could not escape divine justice. Even though Jacob got a taste of his own medicine, God continued to bless him and in turn to bless the world through him. Jacob kept falling into grace, getting what he did not deserve. Because God's justice is always tempered with mercy. God's promise to Jacob was accomplished, and Jacob got more than his due. Jacob received the grace of God, God's blessing, and the assurance of God's good favor. Regardless of the messes we make in our lives, falling into grace ensures that we will get more than we deserve. The cross of Christ, the death of our Lord, ensures our redemption from ourselves. Like Jacob, we are delivered from our brokenness, not because we're good, but because there is grace in Christ. Left to our own devices, we will do what we want without much thought or the consequences. But we believe that through the cross, we are given a new identity, a new life on the basis of God's loving kindness and tender mercies. We should be falling into grace. We should get up in the morning going, "I'm fallen." Falling into grace, letting God take us in Christ, take us in his arms, and holding us so that letting go is no longer a struggle. Our being in Christ opens the gift of Christ in us, the hope of glory. And that is the good news, that Christ came into this world to save us, not to condemn us. Falling into grace, Paul describes today, 8:5:20, I don't think it's there today. As people sin more and more, God's wonderful grace becomes more abundant. So just as sin ruled all people and brought them to death, now God's wonderful grace rules instead, giving us right standing with God and resulting in eternal life. God is the giver. We are the receivers. Fall into grace and believe and know that we are loved, we are redeemed, and we are forgiven. All glory and honor and praise be to God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, now and forever. Let us pray. This is a prayer from St. Ignatius. Take, Lord, and receive all my liberty, my memory, my understanding, and my entire will. All I have and call my own. You have given all to me. To you, O Lord, I return it. Everything is yours. Do with it what you will. Give me only your love and your grace, for that is enough for me. Let me willingly fall into your grace, into your arms of mercy. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.